Welcome to the Duluth Rundown interview section. We are just about to get going with our next interview, but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is where you want to go to get anything running related, from gear to shoes to food, and of course, great advice from all the people that work up there. So check out Austin Jaro at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth, Minnesota. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
All right, and now we are starting our interview portion of the podcast, and we are joined today by Coach Dave Wicker. Dave's been coach at Duluth East for a long time and has coached other places here in Duluth that we'll talk about today. But Coach Wicker, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for being here, for giving me a chance. I'm not sure what you want to learn from me, probably not a lot, but I'm here.
Well, it'll be fun to talk to you. Really curious to hear about some of the, you were one of the early, I think, early running guys here in town. I don't know of a lot of folks that were maybe running before you. You can answer that. But tell us kind of when you got started with running. What year was that? What did you do? How did that all begin?
Well, I ran track in seventh grade at Ardeen. And I was mainly a sprinter, and then when I 10th grade, you could start cross country at East, and I started with that and ended up doing track at East High School. And that was I gravitated toward the longer distances eventually, and there weren't a lot of people, as you said, there were. The people that were running, you had cross country and track, you didn't have all the older people running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was basically Scott Sundquist, who was, he would have been 3 or 4 years older than me, and he was a very, very good runner, and he would be out. You'd see he worked full time in a warehouse, in a store downtown, and kind of in the warehouse part of it, and you'd see him running at 8 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was pretty much the only one who you'd see running, especially in the winter time. And he was he went to Czechoslovakia and ran a marathon there, and was also, he actually found a wife there that didn't last very long, but she did come back, and he got a job at Reserve Mining in Silver Bay and ended up not doing much running after that. But he was probably the one that everybody saw.
Wow.
And he would have been a couple years younger than Gary Bjorklund.
Okay.
Who was obviously the best ever still in Minnesota, is like in the mile.
Right.
And
so what years were these?
This would have been early 70s.
Okay.
I mean, Scott Sundquist would have graduated from high school in 71, and Bjorklund would have been 69. And then, Scott Keenan, he ran with Scott Sundquist quite a bit as he got into it, and he didn't get start running until he was in college either. But that was kind of the one main person, although you did have, we had John Cortez, who went to East High School, who was also, he was a Big Ten champ at least 2 years at the University of Wisconsin, and was ran right around 150, I think, for 800.
Okay.
Kerry Laux, who is my good friend, who was coach at Central for many years, he ran with Scott Sundquist, or not so much Scott Sundquist, but Gary Bjorklund, he ran with him some, and even went to Boston Marathon the year that Steve Hogue from St. Paul got second, and Steve had called him and asked him if he wanted a room with him in Boston Marathon. So a lot different. Things were not quite as big time as they are now, but you very rarely saw. There were probably two guys that I know of that were older, that, I mean, older, being like 30s, that ran around here, two men, and they started in their 30s and went, they were still going till they were probably 70, but there weren't very many at that time, and they're virtually, I mean, the women were hardly any.
Yeah.
I mean, the first grandmas that I ran in was, there were, I believe, 7 women finishers.
Okay. Wow.
And that would be like 105 men. And that was, I did that after that running at UMD, just track season and not having any longer than a 15-mile run. But my best experiences, I think, ever probably running were running track at UMD.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always a better track and road racer than a cross-country runner.
Okay.
I attribute that to being, I'll say, my efficiency, not picking up your feet much. You have to pick up your feet in cross-country. And so that was...
Kind of glided along a little bit,
sort of. Well, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it was just easier. But yeah, there was a good group that ran. I mean, there's a core group. You'd have races, and there'd be 35, 40 people in a race.
Hmm.
And of them, you know, probably 20 or probably 80% were men 25 and under. Few women, couple older guys. That was kind of it. I mean, it was, yeah, the road racing was a lot different.
What were some of the races you're thinking about?
Well, Scott Keenan was president of North Shore Striders, and we had all the North Shore Striders. There was a group of probably 20, 25 guys. You would take different races, and each be in charge of one. So Park Point 5 Mile, which has been there, that's a long time. They had a race, I remember meeting with Scott and some of the Greek community at the Jolly Fisher, which was a Greek restaurant downtown, and they were interested in having a marathon. And at that time, I remember Scott saying that, boy, you know, there's a Pavel Nurmi marathon in Hurley, Wisconsin. At that time, it was the second biggest marathon in the country.
Wow.
So he didn't know if we could support that.
Yeah.
So we had a race that I was in charge of called the Greekathon, which started and finished started on the UMD track, finished there, went around the neighborhood, in kind of this neighborhood up here. We had a smelt run 6 mile on the shore.
Yeah.
We had a, there was a 15K that went around, started near where Marshall School is, and did it would kind of up Rice Lake Road and around that way. There was a Skyline 25K, which started at out past Spirit Mountain and finished at Chester Bowl.
Cool.
There weren't any 5Ks. They're all longer than that.
Right.
It's interesting that all the races that you mentioned are kind of, by today's standards, almost like very rare or unique distances. 6K, 15K,
right.
25K.
Well, they were miles then, because that was a 25K, but most of them were miles, because it was I set the UMD record in the mile in 1977, and 1979 they switched the metric. So my wife actually held the record in the 5,000 meters, which was set in 1979 and stood until 2009.
Wow.
Yes, things were different, but they were different. They weren't, everybody didn't run, 5K was unusual.
Yeah. And that's like the standard these days, it kind of seems.
Remember, that would have been my fifth year of college when I was done with eligibility, but I still, I graduated, we had quarters, I graduated after winter quarter. And I remember running the St. Patrick's 5K, which was down, down kind of where the Lake Walk is now, but the Lake Walk wasn't there. It was down near down on Lunner Road and then whatever the, I don't even know the name of the streets there. There's Railroad Street and some of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was, and Kerry Loux was in charge of the race. I remember guy was front for probably over half the race. I had no idea who it was, the older guy. And I did end up passing and win the race, but it was Dan Conway. And that like one of his first races.
Yeah.
And you guys probably have, did you have this when he was still alive?
No.
You know about Dan Conway?
I know about him, but I never met him.
Yeah. He was phenomenal. I mean, he was a world cross-country champ in the Masters division, and if you look in the Minnesota records, even though he lived in Wisconsin, he lived in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and then retired to Superior, where he was from, and he ended up coaching cross-country in Superior also. Mm-hmm. But he has both Minnesota-Wisconsin records for, like, the mile through 5K, probably age, everything probably 50 and up, 50 to mid-70s.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he won the Park Point 5 Mile, which has always been a competitive race. Mm-hmm. He won that at, he's over 50, 50 or 51. He won the open division of that with probably 20, under 26.
Yeah.
So he was phenomenal.
I can't imagine, because I'm 52. I couldn't even imagine racing in the top pack with the kids.
There were some, you know, a lot of people like that. And we had.
So you won Park Point once.
I won Park Point in 1979.
1979
was when I mostly retired from running.
You went out like,
I broke
on top.
2:30 in the marathon that year.
Wow.
And actually, there's a lot of people, including Jaro and Jess Koski and several people before, but I might have been the first Duluthian to break 2:30 in the marathon.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, cool.
I know I was at Grandma's anyway.
Yeah.
But there weren't, it was just a new thing. There weren't marathons like there are now.
Yeah.
And I know Jaro and Jess Koski, they've run low 220s. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I kind of got a job teaching, and I was coaching basketball and even coached football my first year in Badger, Minnesota, and went to Clayton, Wisconsin and coached some track and got married, and still ran some, but not real focused.
And
no,
yeah,
was,
how
my
many
wife did actually more than she. I had for four, 1 year as a boys coach and track coach, and I had everything. And my wife Julie was, well, we got married after my first year there. Yeah. And she would take the distance runners.
Okay.
And I'd take everybody else, kind of.
Yeah.
So she'd run with them because she could run, and she actually ran. She very pretty consistently and pretty well too. But
yeah, we should have brought her down to this interview as well.
I think one thing that's fascinating is to hear about different training methods through the years. And I think what's so cool is hearing some of the that core group of runners who would go under 2:30 at Grandma's. So I'm really curious, Dave. What did that look like to get to 2:30 in terms of your training? How did you prepare? How did the race go? Can you remember that lead up? Like, what type of workouts were you doing and stuff?
I did. My workouts, I would go out and run.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd run. I had no speed workouts, no interval workouts, zero.
Huh.
No hill workouts. I did run 2 weeks before I ran 100 miles because I had been on a canoe trip and missed 5 days.
Uh-huh.
And, which I didn't normally do, but I probably averaged 80 miles a week and did some longer runs. I mean, 20, 21, 22, but I think when you're young, just getting the distance is the biggest thing.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people think you need to do all the other stuff, but if you get the base, that's probably more important. And I found that out in college too, that I was running the mile and the 3 mile. Remember, it was not metric, so I would typically finish at some really fast last quarters, and it wasn't because I was the fastest guy, but I think it's because the people with the most endurance are the ones who are going to be the strongest at the end.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
A lot of coaches tend to think that you got to do all this speed work. You got to get the more distance you do, the easier that will be, and you're going to be just running faster because you're going to be less fatigued.
Yeah, exactly.
And be able to push it through longer. And I did like high school cross country with Dick Skog, who was phenomenal coach. We did intervals basically every day in track, and it's like, I mean, I didn't. It wasn't that much fun, and I did a lot better in college when we kind of able to figure out our own program a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the marathon is roughly 99% of an aerobic event, so I don't see a point in training anaerobically for that.
Well, I mean, there is,
So you kind of just go out and jog, you know, most days or run. I mean, were you running at a consistent pace in your training or?
Well, some days I'd run hard.
Yeah.
I mean, some days I might run 6 minute miles. I remember, I remember running a guy named Rick Jackson. Have you ever had him on here?
No, we haven't.
He's an interesting. But I passed him at the 17-mile mark in Grandma's first 3 years. And I ran one time with him and in training. And that was like a 15-mile race. And it was like, I hung on. But that was pretty much it. But in the race, he would go out too fast. And at 17 miles, there he is, 3 years in a row. And... He had a lot of, he was one of the, probably the last five to finish all the grandmas.
Yeah.
He's not anymore, but he's, okay. You can do a lot of that stuff. And I think partly when I was pretty naturally, I was probably faster than most people anyways, speed wise.
Sure.
I wasn't one that coaches would look at and say, you're going to be a distance runner. They'd say, no, you're a sprinter, whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit about your coaching career. You alluded to it a little bit. You started in Wisconsin, started with basketball and football a little bit, and then got into the track and the cross country. You've been doing track and cross country since those days. Exclusively, I don't know if you've done a lot of other sports.
Just with my own kids.
With your
baseball
own kids.
And basketball. Some
kind of little league thing, summer league stuff, maybe.
And a lot of basketball with my daughter.
Okay.
But I was in Badger, Minnesota, actually.
In Badger.
For 1 year, and then I was in Clayton, Wisconsin, for five, and I coached junior high basketball and girls' high school basketball, and there I had track, I had everything.
Okay.
And. And then I went to Sabika, Minnesota, where I thought I might end up staying, and I coached the distance runners in track, and I was all set to be the cross country coach my second year there, and then I got a job in Duluth, and I couldn't turn that down. So
yeah, because it was back home.
Coached the girls track at East for 2 years, then I went to Denfeld for cross country, because Gary Lepistow had been assistant, and Doug McIver was the AD and cross country coach, and Gary and I got to be friends running together, and he recommended me, so we coached together for 9 years and did some track there too. And then I went to East for cross country in 1997.
Okay.
And I've been there ever since, and
doing both cross and track.
Yeah, I was track.
Yeah.
Did distance and track and from 98 to 2002. Mm-hmm. Then I was at St. Scholastica coaching track for 5 years, still doing cross country at East. And then I came back, was coached the sprinters with the Casks. They were the head coaches in track. And I coached sprinters at East for a few years, and then I've been head coach for a while since then. So I haven't had any years off. I've normally had at least 2 seasons where I've coached.
For what, the past 44 years? 44 years, yeah. Wow. It's a lot of coaching.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So roughly 88 seasons.
Yeah, probably only about
85.
Probably about 75.
Okay, 75 seasons on the low end. Yeah, that's a lot. That's low. That's a lot of kids.
Yes.
Over the years.
Yeah. A lot of good ones.
What's your favorite part about coaching?
Oh, just interacting with the kids and seeing them improve and seeing them just getting to know kids. When I came to East, they had won 5 straight state championships. So we won a couple more, and they remember the first, second or third day of practice, we ran about 8 miles. And at that time, I would run with the kids. Mm-hmm. And some of them ran, 8 to 10 miles. Some of them ran like 10 and a half. And some of them ran 8. And Kendall Wheeler, who, Kara Goucher's sister, who ended up actually breaking Kara's record in the state meet, mile record, which is since been broken several times, but remember her. We went down from the old East, which is Ordine now, to out Jean Luth Road, the Amity Trail, and you come, and someone went all the way down to Superior Street and then back.
Okay.
And climb up the hill.
Yeah.
And when we got to the road, they needed to turn back, and Kendall, I remember her, she was so mad at me. It's like, we've never run this far. This is stupid. Why are we doing? I mean, it was very, she wasn't very happy, but I think she did get third in state that year and second in state another time. I mean, she broke first in the mile in her senior year. So she was a great runner. I remember they weren't used to doing that. And
yeah.
That was good. But the other thing, Mike, that asking about training, a couple things I've learned. Mm-hmm. One is that the longer you delay doing your interval training and your speed work, the better you're going to be at the end.
Yeah.
Huh. What do you mean? You mean like age-wise, or?
No, the longer during the season.
Okay, during a season.
About 6 weeks is max, is really all you need. If you do more than that, it's not physiologically, it doesn't work.
Right.
And a lot of people, they want to start doing, coaches will come in with kids who haven't run, and you're running 400s the first day.
Well, yeah.
That, you might run well for the first 3 or 4 weeks, but that's something that, I think that the more base you get, the longer you delay that, and you can run hard, but that seems to help.
So instead of interval work, what's the focus in the early and middle parts of the season? Is that just more base mileage, like you kind of alluded to
but
for
you
yourself?
Yeah, and you run some you run fast. Tempo, sure. They call it tempo now, but it's like a lot of it, just go out and run 10 miles hard. Then do some hill workouts and then gradually, you do your hills and then your pH intervals, and then end of the season, you're mostly, you're doing a little bit of sharpening, but you're running easy more, resting. We had a group, and I'm getting off topic, but you guys know who Grant Johnson is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Grant was a senior, and we had a Bjorn Batdorf, who was a skier and a good runner, and Kyle Erickson and Pete Klopp, three seniors and a sophomore, and they ran 8:12 or so in the section meet for the 4x800, and then basically didn't do much of anything the next week, and they ran 7:56.9 and won the state. Wow. So only East Relay's ever won a state championship. So, so sometimes rest is the best thing, and I found that myself, that you know, a lot of times a week after, you know, you take a week off after the season,
a whole
and
week.
You feel
wow,
Kenyans take a month. A week is, I mean, well, we didn't take completely off, but I mean, pretty easy. And I mean, some people it doesn't work. Some people, but I mean, I found if you're, problem is that it's hard to get kids to, they like to take time off and you want to peak, you want to run your best every race. And that, that sometimes isn't, that isn't possible, unfortunately.
Right. Like progression is not always linear.
Yeah.
Just doesn't go up in a straight arc the whole time.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's like little setbacks here and there.
Yeah. So, Dave, you've seen a lot of kids come through, make major progression, maybe not so much, or maybe even, you know, lose progress over a career. I guess I'm curious, and I think this could help, you know, older runners who've been doing it a while. Of course, you know, younger people, but I'm really curious if you have seen any trends in terms of what separates the people who see kind of dramatic progress, or, you know, is it physical? Is it kind of mental? Can you see
both.
Trends? Yeah, I mean, what trends do you see with kids who make big progress? Yeah.
They do more training.
More training.
They do
just like that.
Run more. I mean, I mean, this is the only sport. I don't know what sports you've played, but I mean, you know, if you're a golfer, a tennis player, or a baseball player, some people just aren't ever going to be very good at those sports. And I mean, everybody who's normal physiologically, you can be a pretty good distance runner. I mean, we've had, we've had kids that really were, you know, started out, you know, like 6 minute milers and end up being going to state. I mean, a lot of it is just being consistent and sticking with it and putting in the miles and doing everything you need to do to do it. But it's not necessarily anything unique, except just you have to. It's kind of a year round thing where you want to be good. You run all you do a lot of running. I mean, I know. I had a friend, Ed Kleiman, who went to Central, and he and I, we ran all winter, and it, like senior year in high school, nobody was doing that.
Yeah,
I mean, you had Scott Sundquist and a few UMD people.
Yeah,
but otherwise, no, you didn't. Nobody was, and so you come into track season, and you do well. And what happened in cross country? Cross country is different because everybody runs in the summer.
People are more active.
I think East definitely has one reason they do. I mean, they're the fantastic cross country ski program. They have that really helps with track, except skiing isn't running.
Correct.
And I mean, I always tell skiers, running's going to help your skiing. Skiing doesn't help your running.
It's
different, you know, different way to use the, just different use of the muscles. You're very aerobically fit, and that I think that's one good thing about here, having all the skiers we have at East, that they really, that does, they're very fit, but it takes a while to get the running legs under you.
So what do you do to foster, you know, I guess a culture, attitude, or desire to want to run more. You know, if you're seeing potential and you know that's what it takes, the difference makers just run more throughout the year as a coach. Yeah.
Just encourage people to do it. Try to get groups that, you know, kids that will do it together. But it's always been, at least it's so different now because you have all these groups of runners. They're running, kids never even have run by themselves. I mean, they always have somebody to run with.
Right.
We just get out the door and go.
All by yourself.
Yeah, whatever. I used to have broom ball.
Yeah.
So I remember I lived in Leicester Park, run up the hill with the broom and play the game and then run home.
Yeah.
And that was my friend Ed Kleiman, who's the central one, who ended up running at Golden Valley Lutheran and St. Cloud and was a really good runner. But he's the one who's like, you don't need to get all dressed up and stuff. I mean, I'd run home from school 3 miles to my house,
yeah,
with whatever I was wearing to school.
Right.
Yeah.
Which people don't do that now.
But no.
Yeah.
They have to go out running and
yeah.
I mean, now kids are, you know, kids. You live in 6 blocks away. I mean, I don't know your kids here, but I know that, you're further. You're not at the old high school, but, I mean, they got to get a ride. It's like,
mm-hmm. Right.
Just
yeah.
Kind of like the Kenyans did it, you know?
Just yeah.
Use your feet as transportation.
10K to the school, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Used to have a kid, kind of a funny little guy, Steve Heichel of Rand East, and we'd do our track workout and he'd take a shower, because that's another thing kids don't do at school. Can't explain why that is, but then he'd take his backpack, put it on, and he'd run home. Sounds
like I'm just gonna shower again as soon as you get home.
Yeah. But it was a lot different then. I think the one, there's a lot of good things, but the women, girls have really improved tremendously from what they were,
yeah,
you know, 30 years ago or
sure.
20 years ago. Just doing so much more training. And then the people are running till they're as long as they can run.
Right.
As adults, they're just going.
Most used to be, if somebody is going more than a year or two beyond college, that's probably it.
Right.
And now,
you're still running.
Kind of.
Yeah. You had a streak going. Had a good streak going for the year.
I had 136 days in a row, and then I had about 5 days in 2.5 months. Now I got 6 days in a row again.
So all right.
Now,
yeah.
Or 7 days in a row. So run a week.
It.
So it's, I'm very, either run every day or I don't run, unfortunately.
You're getting prepped for the upcoming cross country season.
Yeah. Able to run with the slowest younger kids. That'd be the goal.
So, Dave, you've been running in Duluth for a long time. What are some of your all time favorite training routes?
I like Seven Bridges Road. Because I lived in, I lived growing up and as an adult in, just below on Upper Leicester Park. I like the Amity Trail a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you go one way or another and connect from Seven Bridges to the Amity Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those, I like the bike trails. They're nice.
Yeah.
We used to run, from UMD, you go up Hargan Eason Road to Calvary Road, down Woodland, you go through Hartley.
Yeah.
A lot of those, there's a lot more trails than there used to be.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's really nice trails in West Duluth that people don't know about or use like they could.
Sure.
But I a lot of good places to run. End of Park Point's good. Used to, I like running on trails now, even though, like I said, I'm not the most efficient on them.
And why is that that you like the trails?
Because I don't need to know how fast or far I'm running. I can look at my watch and say, okay, that's 45 minutes. Yeah. I don't have to look. I don't want to know how slow I run.
Sure. Kind of evens the playing field.
Yeah, I mean, just mainly by time now.
Yeah.
And you know, and it, like now, like my wife runs 50 minutes every other day, and I run less than that, more than that. But I run, if I'm running every, I'm either running every day or I miss a month or two or three or whatever. But now I don't know. But I think as I get older, you have to do more, you have to be more consistent.
Sure. That seems to be a common theme through this whole conversation is the power of consistency.
Consistency is the biggest thing, I think.
The biggest thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I went from being a, a decent high school runner. I did go to state in the mile and the 2 mile. In those days, you couldn't run them both.
Oh, wow.
You could only run the one or the two. You couldn't run both.
Huh.
And and then I went to college and I had one awful year. And then I eventually had, was able to up my distance and kind of, Eleanor Rinda was our coach at UMD, and at that time, you guys maybe don't know this, maybe you do, she was the first woman to coach, be a head men's coach of any, in any college in the country.
Okay.
Wow. She started in the 60s.
Right here at UMD?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
And by the time you got to be like a junior, the kids, captain, the people who had been around a while, we had a good core group of kids. She kind of, here are your options, you know, do what you think. And that was great for me. I'm not necessarily one who, this is, we have to do 16 times 400 at this pace.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, so I learned a lot from that. And it figured out what works. But then, actually, the year I got done with college, is the one year that I really ran the best, and that was, all I did was run more distance, you know, got a lot of miles. And that was, you know, and there were, at that time, there was quite a few road races that I did, that I ran in, and they were fun.
It helps to have all the races around too, I suppose, huh?
There are a lot of races, but now I, you know, now if I run a race, the last race I ran was 2020 in Gulf Shores, Alabama, 5K. But now, next year, I have run a half marathon down there a few times because we go there for a couple months in the winter.
Yeah.
But
maybe going to do it again this coming winter?
I won't commit.
Nothing publicly just yet.
No, well, not. I heard about your, I don't want to be like you with the Pavlonermi.
Right, exactly.
Things happen, you know.
Exactly, yeah, that's the hard thing when, you get a little older and you don't want to commit because things happen, like you say.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have any goals for the future for your own running in terms of?
I hope I'm still doing it in 5 years or 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm, as far as how fast I run, I'm. I might. I mean, I'd like to run a race or two, but I'm not. And I'd like to run a marathon at 70.
Okay.
I'm 67 and a half now, so that would be a, I guess that would be a goal.
That's
a marathon at 70.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool goal. I don't think a lot of people have done that.
And I've been fortunate enough to never been really hurt much. But part of that is, you know, you see these people who are been doing it forever.
Yeah.
And they, I think you're, it, a lot of times your body just breaks down. And I've had enough breaks and maybe missed enough time that my joints and my body is still pretty good shape. I'm not in good shape, but I'm in good enough shape that I can go out and run.
Yeah, right. You could start training again for something like the marathon.
This week.
Yeah, yeah.
This
and
week
be just fine. Yeah,
I've got 7 days.
That's cool.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You guys can listen to more of your podcasts. You guys do a good job with this. Good promoting sport.
Yeah, and that's our goal. Promote sport. Promote Duluth.
I'm not, you guys are way more into the local road racing stuff. I go to Grandma's Marathon. I help, I've been at the finish line and working there and doing stuff, but when I haven't run it, but I really, actual road races, I like I said, I know what the high school kids are doing, and
yeah,
that's kind of my focus right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, as what I've learned as I've gotten into the high school world more, they are kind of two somewhat separate worlds.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. And I kind of see there could be such a combo because so many of these kids' parents are road runners. Their parents' friends to kind of pay attention to the high school world, and then the high school kids can pay attention to the road world a little bit. Because really, it's kind of all the same thing anyway. And but
well, we used to in college, we'd go. We had a group of guys that would. You'd run here. You'd run up in. Well, there's a race in Chisholm. There's a race different in Hibbing. You go to. We'd find probably 6 or 8 races in the summer to run, and they're all on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a good way to kind of keep up with the training and whatever. But sometimes I'd do better in those than I did in the cross country races.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks again, and appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. See you out there. All right. That concludes episode number 63 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Big thanks to our interview guest, Coach Dave Wicker. Really nice to talk with him. Great to have him on the podcast and share some of his stories that he's had in the running world for a long, long time now. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to you, Mike, for helping out and doing all the stuff that you do. And look forward to seeing everybody out there.